kind of neat. Didn't really pay attention to this. But our first song was Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Second song was Great is Thy Faithfulness. The third song, Revive Us Again. And I thought to myself, well, as I lean on God's faithfulness, I'll be revived again. That's pretty cool. I'm going to have to start looking at that kind of stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 18. Again, we've already come out of the gate very strong on a couple of problems. The issues of the 1 Corinthian church. It's a great book to look at what not to do. It's really good because he corrects things in there, right? Of what not to do. And see the correction on what to do instead. We've seen the issues on divisions in the church, but that's never good. If you have division in the church, that's going to affect everything else. And I talked about there are different understandings of baptism, and they were overlooking what it even represents. They're looking at, well, who baptized you? Again, more on their cliques and more on their separation. Verse 18, now we're going to look at a problem with the gospel here. For to those who are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now here in verse 18, it kind of reminds me, for those who are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Now there is a group of people that does not want to accept Christ. When Christ is presented to them, they deny it. Let's keep our spot here in 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to Luke 23. Keep our spot in 1 Corinthians and go back to Luke 23. So Luke 23, 35. Luke 23, 35. So Christ is being crucified here. The people stood by watching, but the rulers with them scoffed, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. So there's a group of people here, rulers, average people, all kinds of a group of people that have their hearts so hardened, but they're not even open to understanding what's happening in front of them, right? So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There's going to be a group of people that you come across that you can say all the right things. The same power of God that's convicting them of their sin is the same power that they're wanting to reject. They don't want to accept Christ as their Savior. Now, it's interesting. I had brought up last week, in the meeting, on when we read the New Testament and an Old Testament verse is brought up, go back and see in the context what was happening. So Paul here, he actually quotes an Old Testament verse. Now, why would he do that? He says here, for it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, Paul is talking to a church, right? From the New Testament, and now he's bringing in an Old Testament scripture from Isaiah 29. Now, why would he do that? Well, we know in Acts, the church got its start in a synagogue, right? When Christ, no, not Christ, when Paul, through Christ, when Paul went to Corinth, he started his ministry in a synagogue. So there are Gentiles there and Jews. So he's going to say things to a group of people, Gentile and Jew, and they're going to understand. Now, he quotes this first. Let's go back to Isaiah 29. Keep our spot here in 1 Corinthians. Go back to Isaiah 29. And we'll start at verse 13. I'll give you some background on what's happening here in Isaiah. So Isaiah 29. Now, he quotes verse 14, but 13 rolls into it. Isaiah 29:13, therefore the Lord said, because this people, listen to this, because this people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is tradition by the precept of men. Therefore, I will once again do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. So he's quoting Isaiah here. In Isaiah 29:30, there's a problem in Judah. Isaiah is addressing the Jews at this time, or Judah, people following under David's throne. They made an agreement with Egypt. They're trusting in their agreement with Egypt over their agreement with God. How foolish! How foolish! Actually, also in Isaiah 19, God speaks to Egypt and how he's going to, Egyptians or Gentiles, how he's going to confound their wise men also. It's kind of comical. So he addresses the wise men of Egypt, the Gentiles, in Isaiah 19. He's addressing the wise men of Israel, Isaiah 29 and 30, on how they're allying themselves, they're allying up with Egypt over God. Egypt's not going to save you and protect you. That's my job. That's the covenant I made with you. So here we're going to see how foolish of a Jew to trust in a Gentile nation when all you have to do is trust in God to protect you. How foolish. Where is your wisdom at in that? So Paul is addressing the Jewish believers here at Corinth. You are no more wise than where you're at now in Christ, you and in your wisdom, as the Jews were trusting in Egypt, you know, 600 years ago. You are no more wise than them. Now, this is going to cut into a Jewish person's heart because they know what's happening in Isaiah 29:30. A Gentile's going to go, wait, what? I don't get it. A Jew's going to go, how dare you? So in that context, he's using an Old Testament verse. This Old Testament verse is rebuking the children of Israel in Isaiah's time for turning and their wisdom to a Gentile nation other than God. How foolish. How foolish. Back to 1 Corinthians. Verse 20 brings it together. Where is the wise? You can say that, that's a Gentile. You can look at Isaiah 19 if you want to. Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made the wisdom of this world foolish? Now we're going to see the comparison on what the wise scribe and the Gentile, the philosophers, the debaters of their time, the people that aren't saved. Because again, these people are looking at Corinth, the people of Corinth are looking to what is educated, what is wise. They're looking to society and the culture to dictate what they do in church. That is a big no-no. They're looking in society and in the world. And they're doing the same things to run their church. They have divisions. I'm of this person, I'm of that person. That's what society was doing at that time in their area. We don't do that. We're unified in one. But looking at what the world's wisdom is and how you speak and how you act and how you hold yourself, all those things, and bring it in church to say, this is how we do it too. No. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made the wisdom of this world foolish? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. That's Romans 1 and 2. Mankind and mankind's wisdom turns away from God. Now, man in himself, in him, he does look for a God. That's why there's so many false gods. He does look for a deity. It's not the creator. That's what Romans 1 and 2 teaches. They serve the animals over the ones that create the animals, right? So it's not that man doesn't look after a god. They look after a god. They're looking after the wrong god. They seek for a creator. They seek for a deity. It's in the wrong ways. They create them with their hands. So the world and the worldly wisdom. So now Paul is showing how wise society is. The world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, he's showing how wise they are. in their wisdom, they don't go to God. So it behooves you, Corinthians, to not look at their wisdom and say, let's adopt that and take it into our church. It'd be wise to not do that. It says here in verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the quote-unquote foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Now, it's not foolish to teach or to preach, okay? It's through that avenue that God had chose to get the gospel out. Preaching and teaching is involved. They cannot call on Jesus in whom they have not heard. They have to hear about Jesus. So that method, it's not, you know, we talk about, what about those that have never heard the gospel? They're born in the Adamic state. They will go to hell. It's up to us to take the truth to them. God has given the transportation of the gospel through other believers to tell someone else, to share, to do some show and tell. It says here, please God, the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. So those that are open when they hear the gospel, right? They hear it, they go, I accept that. I am in need of a Savior. I am going to turn to Jesus for my salvation. To them, it's the power of God and salvation, Romans 1. Yeah, absolutely. When they get convicted, they go, I'm open to seeing my need for a Savior. I am going to take up Christ on that sacrifice, and I want to be born again. Verse 23, but we preach... verse 22. For the Jews... Here's where it gets confusing for the people here at this time. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Stop right there. They're looking for something to line up with truth. So what they're saying is, without saying this, the sign I'm looking for as a Jew is going to usurp authority over what you're saying. But if I have an open heart and I'm open to hearing, I'll see that the Old Testament brings in a Savior. I'll see all the signs that were fulfilled in Christ. Remember, just, was it 6 or 8 Old Testament prophecies coming true? If you fill the entire landmass, all the earth, with a 1.5 by 1.5 inch square, all the land's covered with those 1.5 by 1.5 inch squares, underneath one of those is red. You're given a whole lifetime to walk around. After your lifetime, you stop on a square and you pick one up, and it's red. The chances of that happening, the odds of that happening, are the same odds as just 6 or 8, I can't remember now, prophecies coming true. And there are several, I can think of over 40 prophecies, over 40, that came true in Christ. So a Jew looking for the right signs with the right heart towards God, right? Because remember, he's rebuked them, Paul rebuked them for saying their lips and their heart are far from, they honor them with his lips, but their heart's far from me. So if a Jew had a right heart, he could see the signs pouring into him. And we see that true because in Acts chapter 2, many of the Jews that were there at Christ's crucifixion, when Peter preached, were the ones that said, what must we do to be saved? So the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek wisdom. Interesting, huh? They want to kind of have their philosophy about it. They want to explain away the gospel. You know, let their nice pipe tobacco. I say, dear boy, have you heard about this foolishness of this man that calls himself a king? Died on a cross for the sins of mankind. And rose again 3 days later. And we go to heaven because of him. What foolishness is this? I cannot fathom. I don't know why he'd have an English accent. Or a pipe tobacco. Probably more of a Greek accent. You know what I'm trying to say. They're trying to be wise and explain away how Christ could come and do that. It's foolish to them, right? They don't want to hear. They don't want to understand. So with that, they're going to explain away how something that truly happened, that factually happened, they're going to explain it away, like science tries to do many times. trying to explain it away. Oh, this can't be true because. Well, this can't be true because. Instead of being open and going, hey, I'm going to look at everything and come to a conclusion. The Jews look for a sign. All signs are fulfilled in Christ. Greeks seek wisdom. Verse 24. But to those who were called, both Jews and Greeks, we preach Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For observe your calling, brothers, among you, not many wise men according to the flesh, not many mighty men, and not many noblemen were called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So Paul is doing a great job saying, okay, I want you guys to look among yourselves there at Corinth. Look among yourselves in your culture at that time, who's being saved at where you're at. It's not the noble, the mighty. Why? They're doing okay without God. Those are the hardest ones to reach. You can talk to people that have, you know, a hard life and have been in prison and, you know, this, that, and the other. The hardest people to witness to see fruit from, to see in Christ, are people who are doing okay without God. I don't need him. They're the ones that have the nice jobs and the nice houses and the great careers and the fill in the blanks. They're the ones that look at their life and go, I'm not that bad. No, you're born bad. You're born that way. But if I was born that way, how could I achieve all this? See the eye there? How could I achieve all this? They're the hardest ones to reach, to see fruit from. You can witness them the same. They're the ones that get the callous heart, the ones that go, I'm noble. I'm mighty. I'm smarter than you. And if I have what I have because of my own strength, then what's God going to do for me? Interesting, isn't it? So at Corinth, at that time, those that were being saved were not the noble, not the mighty, not the high people. They were the lowly people. Now it's different in every church, right? Different in every church, so we can't say, well, only the almighty and all noble. No, that's not true, because in the book of Acts, when the church started out, we saw many mighty, many noble getting saved. When Peter was preaching, a lot of them were getting saved. But now here, where Paul's at, in this area, this culture is different, right? It's just like, I always refer to it, because all I've experienced, but in Connell, we saw people saved constantly. We would witness, we would see someone saved once a month, minimum, once a month in Connell. We come down here, I'm witnessing the same, I'm going out the same, and it is hard to get someone to trust Christ as their Savior here. It's just, I don't know if it's the culture, what they're trusting in. I hear a lot about, I go to this church, that's a lot of answers. I go to this church, well, I've been to this church, well, I've always gone to this church. I didn't have that whole lot in Connell. Here, it's the church I go to. So you're trusting a church to get you to heaven? No, the Bible doesn't teach that. So it's real hard here. Not for lack of effort, right? How many of us, I can start with Bob and work our way around, that witness, I can stop here with Michael. They're trying. We're getting the gospel out. It's hard to see fruit. And when you do see it, man, you want to do jumping jacks and thank God, right? The culture here at Corinth, for whatever reason, the noble and mighty were not getting saved. They're hearing it and they're going, no, don't want that. It was the poor people that were trusting Christ. In that culture, they're looking to society, to their culture to go, okay, now that we have our group, now that we have something going on, we need to learn from them. And it's the same them that denied Jesus and why you're meeting together in the first place. How foolish. Don't let that business model that you see in the world be your church model. That business model rejected Christ. Why would you follow them? Don't do that. That's foolish. So here, not many mighty or noble wise men were being saved at Corinth at this time. God shows the foolish things of the world, so it's foolish to them, to confound them. And what is that? Preaching in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's foolish to them. Right? Because there's no effort on their end. It's already done. Now you're looking at a group of people that have many idols, many false gods. They have to do something for to get something in return, right? In the Gentile world. And when you say it's already been paid for, you don't do anything. Mankind and of himself, they like self-effort. They like to have something involved in what I do, even if it's spiritual. I can gauge on the effort I put in. Well, no wonder why God's asking my prayer. I haven't gone to church in 2 weeks. That's not how God works. Well, no wonder why I haven't done this, or no wonder why I haven't done that. No, that's not it. But how many churches teach that today? Well, God's not going to if you don't. Don't what? Obedience as a child is what God requires of you. In that obedience as a child, there are things that he enjoys. He wants fellowship with the believers. Just because you don't go doesn't mean that he's not going to answer your prayer. Foolishness. But I can check things off as a human to say, okay, here's why this isn't happening. And I can reason and logic, go through it and go, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. And if I do these things, then I will get this. Not necessarily. You can do everything right. You can be obedient. You can love the Lord. You can love his people. You can be the perfect example and yet die on a cross for it. Jesus didn't die on the cross for committing a crime. Right? He was sinless. The apostles didn't die a martyr's death for committing a crime. They were godly examples. They were the ones that you want in your community. They teach obedience. They teach being respectful and kind and humble, right? I mean, a proper dictator would think, I want a whole country full of born-again believers. It's crazy. God, 27, has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And God has chosen the base things of the world, and the things are despised. Yes, and he chose these things which did not exist to bring to nothing things that do. Isn't that amazing? What sign are you going to look for to see creation before it happened? What knowledge or what philosophy am I going to look to before creation? How can you explain that away? How can you, in your reason, teach that? We simply live by faith. I believe by faith that God said in the beginning, and boom, things started coming to pass in 6 days. We believe that by faith. There's no sign, there's no reason, there's no philosophy, there's no hidden secret, there's no hidden knowledge. I just simply, by faith, believe that. And I'm okay with that. I am fulfilled with just believing that God did that. I believe that Christ died on the cross and rose 3 days later. And I believe that the only way to get to heaven and to be redeemed and justified in God's sight is to trust him as your Savior. I believe that. Now, does the Jew have to believe that or the Gentile? They don't have to. It can be foolishness to them. But it's not going to stagger me to be weak in my faith. It's not going to move me to say, okay, well, I don't have a degree in debate, so I can't debate you. Or I don't have a degree in science, so I can't, you know, send it for my God. No, you stand up and you let God take over and speak to them through you on what he wants them to hear. You're not doing the debating. You're not doing the fighting. You're not doing the talking. That's God's job. But here's what can help. Here's what can help. I want to give God something to work with. I want to have less and less I don't knows. Less and less I'm not sure. Less and less I don't really understand. I want to have more and more, well, the Bible says, and more, well, the Bible says, and more, the Bible says. It takes 10 to 12 years for a person to become a doctor, a specialist in their job, a specialist, a doctor who I trust to take care of me while I'm, you know, passed out to do surgery on things that one little movement, my life's over. I'm literally trusting my life in this doctor's hand, right? When I have surgery, when I have heart surgery, I want the best, right? How many of you are like me? You want the best. If I'm going to be put under and I want someone working on me, what school did you go to? How many of these have you done? Right? I want to know that stuff. How many of us have been saved for longer than 10 years and got a church longer than 10 years and are not specialists in being a born-again believer? Do not let a doctor be a better specialist at his profession than you as a believer in Christ. Don't do it. If what you're doing the last however many years, you're not a specialist, I would radically change what you're doing. Because it's foolishness. Amen. It's foolish. Don't continue to do what you have done in the past if you're not already on your own right now becoming a specialist. 10 years from right now, you can change and be that specialist to where you know your Bible. There's no more I don't knows or I think so's or maybes. It's less and less. It's the Bible says here. The Bible says here. The Bible says here. You might not be able to quote word for word or quote, you know, John 3:16. Hey, the Bible says in John 3 and explain the truth. God doesn't need the 3:16. He just needs the truth to come out. So the more I know, the more God can use me to advance his kingdom. I want to be a specialist. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to only have milk and speak milk. I want God to use me to go up against anybody at any given time and watch the foolishness of preaching. Either A, see someone saved, or B, stop the mouths of those that are against it. I can't control once the truth comes out, right? I can't control when it comes out how it affects someone, but I want to have answers. I want to have answers. He says here, verse 29, so that no flesh should boast in his presence, but because of him you are in Christ Jesus, whom God made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. As it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Again, another Old Testament verse, we're going to cross-reference here in a second. That preaching that's foolish is the exact foolish preaching that has made you positionally in Jesus Christ. How about that? And has given you wisdom. It's given you that wisdom. It has made you right before God. It has made you sanctified in position and the ability to grow in sanctification. And in that, you have been redeemed. And he quotes another verse here. Jeremiah 9:24. Let's go there. Why would Paul mention this? Why would Paul bring in Jeremiah 9:24 into this section here? Let's take a look. Here in Jeremiah 9:24, we'll go up to 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Interesting, right? Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercise loving kindness, justice, righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, says the Lord. Stop right there. So again, Jeremiah, Judah's doing a lot of bad stuff. And he says, listen, don't trust in your riches. Don't trust in your wisdom. You trust in me. You glory in what I have done. What I have made you. How I have made you. When I accept the gospel, it is humbling. Because there's no self-effort in that. I can't glory in my riches. I can't buy my way into heaven. I can't glory in any self-effort. But let him who glories, glories in the Lord. And let him glory in that the fact that he knows me. That he knows me. That's wise. That's wisdom. Wisdom in a believer is that I know my Father. I know who I am in my Father. I know what my Father desires of me. I know my mission for my Father. I know the answers for my Father. I know fill in the blank for my Father. That's the wisdom, that I know Him. That's what Paul says when he says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That's all Paul wants to know. Why? That's wisdom. Yes, it is contrary to society and all their, you know, magic books that they have, that, you know, fill in the blank on wisdom, their philosophy. Yeah, it opposes that. It's not how God is going to. Don't let it shock you. You don't know what's wise? Is that in Jesus I have been given wisdom, righteousness, redemption, sanctification. Stay right there, Corinthians. The babes in Christ, who have all these issues, right? All these divisions, wrong understanding of, you know, who they're with, unity in Christ, wrong understanding of baptism, wrong understanding of the gospel. Hey, guys, step back. Here's your wisdom. Meditate on this. That God's given you wisdom. You're made right before God. You've been sanctified in God. Stay right there. And then he brings in Jeremiah to the Jew. Hey, you glory in the fact that you know him. A Jew will know that. Again, Gentile's going to go, wait, I don't get that. But a Jew's going to go, oh, I got it. Anytime you bring up Isaiah or Jeremiah, those books are written to rebuke the children of Israel, right? Those are rebuke, not epistles, those are rebuke prophets for what they're doing wrong. So a Jew's going to know, okay, I'm going to glory in the Lord. You got it. So the two Old Testament verses that he brings in, it's right in the context there, doesn't it? Now, in the Old Testament, he's preaching to the Jewish people at that time, but you see how it can come over, which goes in with our thoughts on reading our Bible and going back and coming forward to see how it fits. Paul's doing a fantastic job on stepping back and helping them see the big picture to have them come together. Yes, what we preach, it's foolishness to them. Don't worry about that. Don't try and change the gospel and how it's presented, how I presented it to you. Don't change that. That's how you got saved. Why would you want to change that? Don't look at them and try and fit it into your church and finagle things. You just stop, and when you come together, glory in the fact that you know Him. Sometimes our minds can get busy, can't it? Sometimes in our zeal for the Lord, many times we want to learn something new. That's something that hasn't been taught yet or explained yet. When the fact is, let's just rest in knowing Him. Let's stop and just be okay with living out our position in Christ, what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a child, and start there. If I am not mature in Christ right now in that, me looking for something new isn't going to change anything. There's no wisdom out there that can change the wisdom of God that's in me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, again, what a fantastic truth that we have here in 1 Corinthians, seeing the foolishness of preaching, not so much preaching itself, but that it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that was hard for the Jews to hear. They're looking for a sign. Hard for some Gentiles to hear. They're looking for wisdom. But Lord, when that gospel is preached and our hearts are open to listen, we have the opportunity to receive and get born again or reject. But I'm thankful for those, when they heard the gospel, it was not foolishness to them. They accepted it. And they've grown in their walk with you. Lord, I'm asking that, just like the Corinthians here, that we would really focus that we have been given wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption in being born again in Christ. Let us study those truths out in our life. Let's see what that even means inside of us. And just watch you, Lord, work through us more and more to give people answers, to have you work through, it's to help others, to have less and less of the I don't knows and the I ought to get back to yous. Those are going to happen, but Lord, let us grow through them and watch you use us to see your kingdom advanced for your honor and for your glory. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.